coming this December.
The government has targeted me and me only.
Now the FCC tonight is cracking down, issuing a record fine.
He will be regarded historically as one of the most significant pop cultural figures of this era.
Hey, don't you wish your crusty old loins could pop out another superstar?
No, huh? We don't need another superstar. We have enough here.
The king of shock radio hits the LA airwaves, and even before his Anything Goes radio show has begun here, Howard Stern is the topic of a lot of discussion.
Well, Howard must have felt like Jack Nicholson's Joker. You know,
when they get a load of me,
I'm Kathy Lee's new baby.
Any change radio, any change what people are allowed to do on radio.
God forbid somebody should say duty on the air.
Any change what people expect to hear on a talk show on radio.
You know what? Screw you.
Right.
The next chapter in the award-winning radio documentary.
I am Fartman.
Is the movie really called Fartman?
Oh, this one is.
He actually made radio cool again.
Where's my yellow broad? I need soup and sex.
I'm not paying for your incidentals or those little extras either.
Well, I will be going to a strip club Friday night for Fred's bachelor party. Whether Fred is there or not is really irrelevant.
After the fall of his enemies.
Get out of here. You're nothing to me. You're a flea on my ass.
You know, Howard was like Napoleon to me in radio.
Everyone's a dick.
He's a foul-mouthed jerk.
Thank you, Chevy.
Let's not even fight. Let's just let it go.
After the epic battles.
He not only, took a market, but he would want to conquer. And take over and destroy.
We take over a city like cancer takes over the human body.
They cut the wires to my broadcast, and I thought, wow, I'm really getting to them. That's pretty lame.
Came the rise of a king.
Rise of the king!
Los Angeles, your king has come!
He broke so big.
All hail Howard!
What is Mom saying when she got the cookie bus?
He's entertaining.
He's brilliant.
Howard Stern's private parts.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's actually one of the greatest books ever written.
Stern dashed past thousands of cheering fans.
We had shut down Fifth Avenue. It was almost like the Beatles on A Hard Day's Night or something. They had to lift me off the ground.
We are proud to announce a new television project. We will now be on the E! Entertainment Network.
Stern to the rescue of a desperate man.
He told Stern he was going to jump from the George Washington Bridge.
And Howard was instrumental in helping this guy to get off that bridge.
The media again took me so seriously and started calling me a hero.
I am honored to be the Libertarian candidate for governor. I'm in this to win.
So as nutty as this all sounds now, I could have been governor. I believe I would have won.
Howard, will you masturbate in the governor's mansion?
I will absolutely masturbate in the governor's mansion. I'll never stop that.
Radio and pop culture will remember Howard Stern just like everybody in the world remembers when Obama became president.
I'm a kingmaker!
The History of Howard Stern, Act 3.
Your egg and dad's sperm together.
Howard's kingdom is coming.
Evidently created something that the world truly needed.
What was that?
Me!
Oh.
Coming this December, exclusively on Sirius XM Radio, Howard 100 and Howard 101.
Is that a stroke of brilliance or what?
I actually listened to, I bought a new car and I finally got Sirius. Because I had XM forever. I hope you don't, dislike me for that. But I never had Howard until recently. And they were playing the History of Howard. So that trailer was for part 3 and it was awesome. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I took over the position, Jeff Thomas had already made History of Howard Act 1. And Jeff's contract ended with us. And I had to make some of 2 and all of 3 and all of 4. And it was very overwhelming because it was just kind of a fun idea they had. The History of Howard was a production that they played at the end of the year. It's a week-long retrospective of Howard. And, the second year they said, let's do 2 weeks. And then the trailer became 2 minutes long. And then the third year they said, we're going to do Act 3. We're going to make it 2 weeks, but the trailer is going to be 3.5 minutes. And every year it kind of grows bigger.
Is this year, was it up to like 6 or 7 or 5?
Well, it was up for 2 weeks, but then they do encore presentations of it.
Well, I meant how many acts were there?
Right now they're up to 4.
Four, okay. Because I remember them, whatever the final act was, which I guess is four. Well, not the final, but the latest. They were touting that as being pretty new. Is it new as of this year?
Yeah, it's it came out at the end of December of 2010, was Act 4.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, like I said, I mean, whether you like Howard or not, I mean, if you're a radio person, I don't know. I'm just really goofy for that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we went all out. You know, for this trailer, we actually recorded a choir at Lincoln Center.
Really?
You'll hear, you know, parts in the trailer where, you know, you hear the choir singing custom stuff, saying History, Howard, and Howard Stern. That was all custom recorded.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Let's talk a little bit more about the lifestyle around there, you know, just kind of the way the process is. But you've now been there long enough. And what is your official title there?
I'm the imaging director.
Okay. Do you have a crew that works under you? Do you work alongside a crew? How's that working?
Up until last April, I worked alone. But they hired an associate imaging producer, which is Chris Libertini. And he's really good, really great guy. He worked upstairs in Sirius's sports imaging department. And he kind of just came down and he always listened to the Howard stuff. And he was like, how do you do this? How do you do that? Or I love the way you did this. I love the way you did that. And then he'd play me some of his stuff, and I'd critique it. I'd play him some of my stuff, he'd critique it. And we got a really good creative relationship going.
Mm-hmm.
And I always kind of had Chris in the back of my mind as someone I'd like to work with in the future. And the channels just – they're growing like a weed. Like, we keep on adding new shows and new features and new taped programming. And we're just – growing so quickly, I just couldn't handle it all.
So just so maybe to give a little bit more insight, if people don't know too much, there's Howard 100 and Howard 101. You're the main guy imaging everything for that, at least up until April.
Yes.
And you know, what's that workload like? Let's talk about it just up until April. You know, is it basically the PD of the channels? Is it Gary? Is it a lot of different people that come to you and say, I need this, I need that, I need this, and here's your deadline? Or, you know, how does the situation go?
Tim Sabian is the main guy, but I'll meet with the separate shows to make sure things are, you know, to their liking. I do all the Stern production, so I'll meet with Gary and I'll do all the Stern bumps, and, you know, basically every Tuesday I'll give him a new, a new batch of them. But we have other shows on, like we have, Superfan Roundtable on Thursdays, where superfans of Howard Stern get together for an hour and discuss the week's show.
What about the wrap-up show? Is there a lot that goes into that?
The wrap-up show comes on after Howard. That was part of my first 3 months of nightmare here.
Really?
Tim said, I really want you to show off, and I really want you to do something entirely different. Because my production was very different. It wasn't FM radio. The stuff I did at MTV was, just very theater of the mind and very different.
Yeah, and that's –
And he said, I just really want you to impress him and do something that is just so not Howard Stern, which was probably my first big mistake. But okay. I said, okay, the wrap-up show, rap, okay, hip-hop. Maybe we introduce hip-hop to the Howard world. And we have, we bring in, an artist, a hip-hop artist, and get some tracks and have it wrap the wrap-up show, basically.
Yeah.
And they did not like that.
Who is they?
That would be Gary and John Hine, the hosts of the show.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it wasn't like Tim or Howard per se.
Right,
but
Tim loved it. He gave it the green light. He said, yeah, that's really different. That's what we're looking for, something really different.
Okay.
And it got on the air, and they ripped it to shreds. They, like...
Do you have any of that lying around?
Oh, man, I probably erased it and did a secure empty trash on that stuff. it was the bane of my existence. But that it was really bad.
I bet you we all have, you like you said, we all kind of do a little cringing at our early stuff, but we all actually have things we have, you know, hard deleted, things that will never see the light of day again.
And, you know, they just, you know, in the Howard world, nothing is off limits. And they were just like, who made that? That sounds horrible. That is crap.
Did they use it as a bit on the air?
Yeah. Oh, and the thing was, is this is a daily show. So every day it came on, I'm scrambling to make new stuff to replace this wrap up, which I worked weeks on. Uh-huh. And I'm scrambling to get this stuff off the air so that we can put something else on. And it was just a nightmare.
Like, was it a nightmare, but now it's funny, and maybe even was funny then? Or were you, like, literally afraid this would cost you your job 3 months after you got your biggest
gig
ever?
Thought this was going to cost me my job. And then, you know, Tim kind of got some flack for it. And, you know, and he had to stand by me. And, you know, of course, he had to give me the program director talk. Now, John, you know, you can't be given this type of production. We got to do good stuff, even though he approved it.
Right. Even though he loved it.
But, you know, we got to do a little bit better. And I called my old boss at MTV at one point, and this was like 3 months into the job. And I just said, hey, is my job still there in case I want to come back? I'm getting kind of worried here. I don't know if they like me so much.
I might have made a terrible decision.
Yeah. And, and the good thing is MTV is just two blocks away. So,
right. So you take a pay cut to go back there, but at least you're hired.
Right. And people love me.
So at a certain point, obviously you found a rhythm, you found a sound. I guess I'm also curious, you know, Howard likes to make everybody a member of the cast, so to speak. Was that just kind of like never your deal? Was that never going to be your deal? Or did he throw you under the bus with some bits or that kind of thing?
I kind of always just wanted to be the behind the scenes guy. I don't really like to, you know, especially when they were doing the wrap up show stuff to me the first 3 months, it was almost like they were egging me on to come into the studio.
Uh-huh.
You know, and a lot of people would come back to my studio and say, you got to go in there. You got to defend yourself.
Yeah. They're destroying you. Get in there.
And that to me was the lion's den. And I just,
so you never
did?
No,
I never did. I mean, Howard has, you know, mentioned my production on the air. You know, he's debuted the trailer and, you know, said that I do good work, which is heartwarming. But, you know, I'd never really wanted to go into the studio. They had, when I first started working here, I gained so much weight because I was just, you know, working all these ridiculous hours, like 14-hour days.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure eating really healthy all the time.
It was horrible. I didn't have a second for anything, so it was Wendy's and McDonald's. It was horrible. But they had Howard did a weight loss contest. I forget what they called it, but they had a weigh off like every week, and whoever lost the most won like $10,000 or something, $30,000.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is, you know, this is something I need to do. Plus, I'm at work. And I thought I was going to do it. And then just that whole idea of going on the Stern show and then
just getting throttled all the time, especially if you lose.
And you know, I don't want to have a nickname like Baba Booey or, you know, for the rest of my life. You know, they call me Fathead or something, you know.
Sure.
And I just, you know, I mean, I can play nice and everything and I take stuff with stride, but. Yeah, I just really didn't want to subject myself to the torture.
Would you say that your sense of humor, I mean, you haven't done anything over the edge or edgy like on this podcast, but I mean, kind of demented. It just seems like you have to just be a little twisted to just even fit into that world, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I'm always fighting with that. It's kind of funny you say that. You know, that whole prep school education just really beats you into conforming, but I kind of had my childhood the last couple years of MTV and the first couple years of Stern. I grew my hair really long, and I looked like Def Leppard at one point.
Oh, excellent. Did you lose an arm? No, I'm sorry, that was awful. I shouldn't say that.
But I just had to do it. It was kind of artistic, and it kind of let my inner spirit out, and you know, And then I met a girl and I caught it, who's now my fiance. So,
all right. So I guess it worked out in the long run. So you get Blue Sound Design going concurrently with Howard Stern. When you get these kinds of side projects going, I'm assuming it's not a big deal. Like, you know, as long as you're doing your work, nobody's going to say, hey, man, you can't be working on other stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really work on it here. That's more of like a nighttime weekend thing.
Okay.
But a lot of the sounds that I made for Howard, you know, and also made for MTV kind of developed into my own toolkit, because you get on these new media stations like a MTV on satellite or Howard on satellite, and no one will license production libraries for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, how are they going to barter, you know, Frostbites to MTV satellite channel?
Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of just had to make my own.
Well, let's actually just go more into that. To start, what did you – like, okay, you've never made a swoosh in your life. Uh-huh. And you decide, I want to make this stuff. Did you get some training from someone? Did you just – you know, what did you do to get going in that?
I started reading – I actually started reading stuff on like film websites for movie trailers.
Okay.
And like Ben Burtt for Star Wars and – a lot of these sound designers that, you know, just make those types of, you know, whoosh, whoosh, type of noises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how did they get them? And they started out with samples, and how did they record the sample, and then how did they manipulate it? And just kind of got really into that aspect of it. And then spent a lot of time in Guitar Center in New York City, which is a great place to hang out because they have all the toys. And, you get to just kind of play with the equipment and you know, stuff that I've read about online, I'd go into the store and kind of try out.
I do like that about that store is the people actually are audio geeks and they really know a lot there, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do get a lot of, and especially New York City, you get a lot of artists and you know, a lot of people who work in TV and film. And, you know, you just ask a guy, hey, I need to make these type of sounds. What do I need? Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people want to give away, you know, their exact recipe, but they'll point you in the right direction.
So generally speaking, in order to kind of get yourself going, I mean, I'm sure you attained multiple tools, but were there one or two things that you were like, man, if I didn't own that, this would have never happened?
Yeah, I think Stylus RMX was, you know, definitely a tool that I've used a lot to make sound design.
Yeah. I have that. I love it because it's just so easy to use.
Yeah, and you know, structure is, I don't know if you use that from DigiDesign.
I have a little bit.
I really like structure because you can get, you know, put your old samples in there and then re-manipulate them. And all of a sudden you have 50 more sound effects. Uh-huh. And it kind of keeps the same DNA from the first set you made.
Sure.
That's one I use a lot. I don't know. Those two are, you know, Those are like the waves gold of sound design for me. Just the stuff you can't live without.
Right. And those have been around a little while. Anything of recent, any plugins or even hardware that you use that have recently come out that you're like, man, that's something worth mentioning?
I haven't really had the money to buy anything new yet.
Well, you got that. That's that fiance problem.
Yeah, I do have a wedding in June. And a honeymoon.
That's your fault, not mine.
So that's put some audio fun on hold. But I know I was looking at that new, I think they call it a virus synth from M Audio. And that's, it's a programmable synth. That looked pretty cool. Also, there was, what's it called? Open Labs. I don't know if you ever saw Open Labs gear. Mm. But they have these, you know, they're actually kind of like portable studios. They have a MIDI keyboard and they have Pro Tools on board.
Oh, I'm bringing up the site now. I have been to this site.
Yeah, and that seems like a really cool sound design tool. I know like Timbaland, the artist, he has his own version of it out. And he made a lot of his songs, a lot of his beats on these things.
I see Linkin Park on the front page of the site.
Yeah, Linkin Park uses it.
Oh, okay. And then I'm guessing you're still pretty much working all primarily in Pro Tools?
Yes.
And have you ever gone any other direction, tried anything else out, or you just always been just always going
to
be?
When I used to have to do commercial production back in my on-air days, I'd use Adobe Audition. That was kind of just because the station had it. Mm-hmm. I never really liked it, though.
Yeah. But I actually still keep a copy of Cool Edit on just about every one of my machines.
Uh-huh.
It's just simple.
It's a cool thing, you know, if you need to just get on and, you know, a lot of guys just swear by it and they love doing it. And it's cool because it's, you know, on a budget, that's really the key thing. Mm-hmm. It comes with a lot of plugins already with it. So if,
are you saying Audition?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, it does. And some pretty quality. Like, I like the noise reduction on there, for instance.
Yeah. There,
works pretty well.
There's a lot of things, you know, and I think Pro Tools is even catching up with that. They're saying, hey, we have all this competition. We need to give some more freebies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
that's true.
Some of the effects are kind of, you know, my first Fisher-Price sound design mm-hmm. tools, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, Pro Tools for me... you know, they're just a sound company that makes sound hardware.
Yeah.
So, you know, you walk into any studio in New York and they have Pro Tools.
So you have obviously some form of a studio or more than one at the Stern Studios there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you basically just have your own studio that you work out of all the time? You don't have to share with anyone?
Yes.
Okay, because that's always nice. It gets, you know, it's maybe it's a luxury to some people, but people come in and share your studio. And even if they, like, move the chair, it just ruins my day.
Yeah, they do have a night shift that comes in for the music side and talk and entertainment channels, but I have the luxury of having my own room.
Yeah, it's nice. And then you have so tell me a little bit about the gear you get to use there and you know what my main question was, did you walk in and whatever you had was perfect, or were you able to say, I need this, this, and that, and they're like, okay, no problem, here it is?
You know what, it was actually a really cool thing. Tim is very supportive of what I need to get the job done, and he's very trusting of me. You know, I mean, I could go up to him and say, hey, we need this $50,000 thing, you know, do we really need it? Yes. Okay, mm-hmm. I guess we need it. You know, I'm not going to do something like that, but
right.
He's very trusting in me, and you know, when I came here, the gear was really bad. It was an old Digio 01.
Oh, yeah.
It was a G4 computer. They were monitoring on computer Boston Acoustic monitors. It was really bad, and even in my job interview, I just said, straight away, you know, if I'm going to take this job, this all has to go.
Yeah.
I need to have, you know, a Mac Pro. I need to have at least a Digio 02.
Or did you get yourself an HD system?
Well, eventually I did.
Okay.
You know, the budget wasn't really back, you know, back then they didn't really know how big it was going to get. So they just kind of pinched by it, and they didn't.
And they gave Howard a couple bucks too. So
yeah, they did. Yeah. And they didn't know, you know, if he was going to resign, if this was going to be a long term thing. And as you know, the years went on, and it kind of pointed to, yeah, he's going to resign. This is going to be a bigger thing. Then they started putting more money into it, and we also merged with XM in 2008.
Yeah.
So I was actually able to get an HD system from the XM studios in Washington.
Oh, okay.
And then they outfitted them with, you know.
That was probably like Jerry Rohira's X studio or something, right?
What, at XM? Or the Digio 01?
No, the stuff you stole from the XM studios when you merged.
Oh, no, that's stuff from Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, poor Jerry was working with the Digio 01 when he was here, which I can see why he went mad.
Yeah. let's see. Any other fun tools that one thing I was going to ask that I haven't asked too many people. When you made the transition from your, I guess you had a Digio 2 to the HD, was it so noticeable that you're like, how did I ever live without this? Or for what you were doing, did you not really need that?
You know, now that computers are getting a lot faster, the gap between HD and LE, which, you know, with Pro Tools 9, mm-hmm. is ever diminishing.
Yeah.
And you know, definitely, because, you know, like with the trailer I made, I had so many tracks going that and so many aux buses that I was running out, and it just really didn't have the horsepower for the plugins.
So you made that on the Digio 2?
Yes.
On like a Mac G with a G5 or something?
Yes.
And you came to its limitations with that piece of production.
Yeah, it was it was just crashing, and you know, I would just have to get all the vocal tracks and bounce them down to a track. It was like the Beatles album, you know.
Yeah, right. And at that point, that's just frustration.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, especially a 3-minute trailer that they want cut down into 60s and 30s, and then they got a sponsorship and they want sponsorship tags, and you know, after a while, it just became. You know, I think it was the trailer that really just opened their eyes to, okay, I think we've reached our limitation here with this.
Yeah. And what type of stuff do you have at the home studio?
I'm very portable. I have a Mac Pro laptop, Pro Tools 8. I have a M-Audio keyboard.
Like a small one, like a 2-octave one, or a bigger one?
I think it's 4 octaves.
Okay.
Yeah, 49 key.
Okay.
I use Yamaha MP5 speakers.
Okay.
I have an RE20 microphone.
Okay.
There's this guy, I can't even think of his name, something Hogan, I believe.
John Hogan with Clear Channel?
No.
Just kidding.
It was a dude who he invented this like cone that goes over the...
Oh, Harlan Hogan.
That's him.
Yeah.
I bought one of his...
The booth in a box or the whatever.
Yeah. That thing's awesome.
He had a good thing there. I saw that everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, I actually got that for Christmas, so that's
nice.
Pretty cool. But I like to be really portable. I have family in Pennsylvania. I have family in upstate New York and Los Angeles. And I like to just be able to get my laptop, get on a JetBlue flight and go out to L.A. and, you know, or also, you know, be able to take other gigs, you know, outside of radio and, you know, be able to be totally portable.
Actually we've been kind of bouncing around a little bit, but, how much voice work are you doing?
I don't do any outside of, the Stern channels. I voice the Howard Stern bumps.
Yep. I recognized you, but how many voices are you using?
I use, pretty much we use John Hunter Locke.
Is he the older deep sounding dude?
Yes.
Yeah.
Voice of God. But he's really great to work with.
Yeah, he's just one of those voices. Yeah, definitely.
And you know, and then other than that, you know, it's hard to say. You know, with budgets and everything, you know, we'll have a voice around for a while, and then when it comes time to pay them, it doesn't happen. So we, you know, we're always looking for freebies, and unfortunately, like with female voice, we've been using interns and. You know, and then their semester is up and then we need a recut and we can't get it. So, that's been kind of difficult, but,
it's so funny that you hear that though, you know,
yeah.
The budget for a voice is difficult there.
Yep.
When it's pretty widely known how much money is being tossed around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, I guess, you know, in business, they're just like, well, you know, we're getting by with these two, you know, why do we need to have, you know, we're still competitive without the female voice.
Sure.
You know, and there's a girl, Vanessa here who, does our schedule promo. So I do use her, a lot for, you know, some female voice, but, I'm actually, my fiance, since I got the sound booth, in December, she's been playing around with the microphone and, she may find her way into some production soon, I'm sure.
Is she a radio person or find yourself someone outside of this business?
She was in insurance before this, so it's a nice, refreshing thing.
I agree with you. I have to one more question, and maybe if I was able to listen to the show more, I would know. But the news jingles that they do for Robin that are just completely X-rated and hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Who does those?
That's Richard Christie.
Okay, he does all those?
Yes. He can do some really good stuff. He also has a band. Charred Walls of the Damned.
Okay.
And I think probably from recording with them and, you know, just messing around, he kind of got a knack for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're hilarious. And what's funny to me is, I mean, sometimes the vocals are just kind of terrible.
Uh-huh.
But
which makes it great.
Yes, which is why he's hilarious, because he knows. Yeah, anyway, that's good stuff. Good, it's pretty good production, too. So I guess, you know, we're almost done, but I want to get a lot of information out about what you have going with Blue and Spark. So I wanted to know, first, you had a buyout package for almost a year that you released with Blue Sound Design, and then you flipped it over and signed a deal with Citadel Media to represent you on a barter basis. How has that transition been for you?
You know, it's a really a dream come true. I'm working with Dan Fermento over at Citadel Media, and he's just an awesome guy.
Yeah, I've emailed. Since I'm in the company, I've gotten to have good contact with those guys. They're all really good people.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, and he's just you know, one of those guys you meet in radio that you're like, you know, there's only a few of them. You know, they're few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a gentle giant, you know.
He's out there on the East Coast somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in Jersey.
Okay, that's right.
And, you know, it's great working with Dan. I submitted a lot of demos for him, and he really liked it. And he loved the Blue Sound Library, and it was kind of a right place, right time scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I had originally, you know, as you know, it was kind of like a baker's bread. You know, it just gets stale after a while. So you got to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had these effects sitting on my hard drive, and I thought, you know, I was shopping Blue around for a little while, and I didn't get any takers just yet. So I thought, well, I'll just start selling them online, you know, make some cash for them.
Yeah.
And hopefully that in turn will get the attention of some people.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, got the attention of Citadel.
Yeah.
And they were looking to launch a CHR library, so Blue fit right in to that. And they were also looking on launching a hot AC library.
And that's called Spark, and yes. Now you're not 100% behind that one, but you're doing work for it and consulting on it and that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made the demo for it. I contribute a lot of sound design for it, and also some of the shells.
Nice. I know that they also actually launched or are about to launch an urban library as well.
Yeah, that's actually a former guy that worked at Sirius, Brian Apple.
Yeah. Is that actually, you know what, I haven't checked as I'm saying this. Is that a public knowledge thing?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I will leave this part in the interview if it is.
Okay.
But I will have deleted this out if it isn't.
All good.
Cool. So as far as the kind of, you know, just to give people a little bit of an idea, you don't need to be specific, but as far as the kind of money, I'm given to understand that potentially a barter system can earn you a lot more money, but it might take a while for you to actually earn. Is that about accurate?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, with barter, you know, you get paid quarterly.
Yeah.
So you'll have, you know, you'll get an affiliate in January and you won't get paid till April.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't see that full year of money until exactly a year, you know, from the time the station launches. So it's not like you get all this like money up front.
Yeah.
So
does that make you a little nervous to kind of put a lot of your effort into a package that, you know, I mean, I think it's really good. So I assume stations will jump on, but you know, maybe you don't get as many and you kind of do, let's say, a whole year of work and you're like, man, I didn't hardly make anything on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that risk there, but I kind of look at the alternative of, you know, I can't imagine myself doing anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I just really want to make a go at it. And you know, if it's not good, then hey, at least I tried. But I really think there's a big opportunity to offer something different.
And you have a pretty good team working for you, whereas when you were on your buyout type system, when you're online, it was pretty much just you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's got to feel pretty good then.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, obviously your life's going well. You're a talented producer. Everything's great. Is there anything I'll ask you my final question in a minute, but anything major that you've taken away from this sort of transition where now you're a guy that's working for a big company with your effects service, you know, you're also with a big company in Sirius, you know, versus people that are completely on their own? Is that something you eventually want to get to, or are you like one of these guys that's really happy being with these big companies?
You know, there's a love-hate relationship with it. You know, it's awesome getting a salary, and, you know, you have health benefits, and you're not constantly looking for work. You just know I report here 9 to 5 and do great work, and you get paid.
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing, but then a lot of other things start weighing on you, like, you know, hey, I have to submit a report on what I do every day, and what, you know, we need to hire more people, but we need to write a business justification and help us write it. And, you know, that stuff gets tedious. At home, if I want to get a new Pro Tools rig, I just go out and I get a new Pro Tools rig. Here, it could take 6 months.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, like we said, Stern signed that 5-year deal. It's probably good for you for 5 years as well. But where do you kind of see yourself going with this? Are you kind of looking forward to a time when you're on your own completely?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've always kind of looked at my job as not just radio production, but kind of sound design.
Yeah.
And I've kind of kept it broad. I really, you know, I wasn't in FM doing imaging. And yeah. I think, you know, also the word radio is changing on what radio is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's satellite, it's podcasting, it's, you know, a whole bunch of things. And I think as long as I look at things as a sound designer, I could get jobs, you know, designing sound for video games or, you know, designing sounds for film or TV. And I think if I kind of look at it that way, you know, I'll always be okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. You may have already mentioned it, but if you had, you know, this is kind of geared more at the younger listeners, you know, people that are just kind of getting into this game. But, you know, one key piece of advice that you would give for them to be successful, what would it be?
Key piece to be successful. That's a really good question. I would say, you know, take a risk and invest in yourself. Every doctor needs a stethoscope. Every doctor needs a practice, and they take loans out and they do it. Don't be afraid to buy that Pro Tool system or, you know, the Waves Gold plugins.
Mm-hmm.
You can always sell it on Craigslist if it doesn't work out. It's a really good investment, and don't be afraid, because I think, you know, one thing that hindered me was I didn't really have a lot of money to get started.
Yeah.
And I think
there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. And I think if I had the capital, I would have learned a lot faster and would have been a little bit better sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's the advice I'd give is just, you know, they say the 20s are for learning and the 30s are for earning. You know, so I guess, you know, take every job you can in your 20s. In the 30s, hopefully you get the payoff.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I appreciate your time, John. It was a great interview, and you have a lot of cool things happening, and we'll have lots of links on the website. And otherwise, just, I will just say thank you for joining the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me.
Spark sweepers.
Hi, this is Christian about Coldplay.
Spark promos.
With a black eye.
Hey, hey. Hello. Hey, hey, this is Lady Gaga.
It is absolutely fabulous.
Spark creativity. The best imaging production begins with a Spark. The brand new imaging library designed for hot AC and any contemporary music format. Spark, covering everything from top of the hour IDs to back to music elements and everything in between. Spark provides a full format clock of easy to customize shells. Ready for air in seconds. Back to music song stagers.
I want to listen to it all day long.
Hey, what's up? This is Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas.
And you're listening to the new music.
It gets me ready for work.
Spark.
Great music, fun, I love it.
Use our suggested format clock to keep your station sounding fresh and on point. Everything you need and nothing you don't. Listener sweeps.
Love John Mayer.
Katy Perry.
Lady Gaga.
Kings of Leon.
Rob Thomas.
I listen to it all day.
They play great music and they're a lot of fun.
Artist sweeps.
Hey, this is Pink.
We are the Fray.
Check it out.
All the hits.
Hi, we're One Republic.
Hey, this is Nate from Kings of Leon.
You're listening to today's best music
and more.
Created by the best producers in the industry, so you know you've got the best sound every time.
And give your imaging a spark
with a cache of sound design that sounds great with today's music.
Hey everybody, we're Maroon 5.
I love the music they play every day.
Oh yeah. You're listening to
Spark.
Keeps me going all through the workday.
Hits, drones, wipes, and more. Spark has everything you need to make your own creations. Music, beat beds and loops, listeners, artists and drops.
We love it. That's why we're here.
New imaging is uploaded weekly to the Spark website. Use our stuff or spark your own idea. Either way, your station will sound great now that you have the Spark. To affiliate, call Citadel Media at 1-866-4-FORMAT and give your station a spark.
Some producers.
All right. That was the Spark demo. John is basically behind two services over there at Citadel Media. Blue, as we heard from and we heard about there in the podcast. That kicked off the episode. And then to round out, you got the demo for Spark. Some good stuff going on over there. I like the people over at Citadel Media. Sadly, I feel like I know so many different people in competitive services. I don't ever want anyone to feel like I'm giving favoritism, you know? But there really are a lot of great products out there. Like, for instance, Robert Dudzik, Grooveworks, his Trinity HD Effects. He'll be a future guest coming up on the podcast. Like I said, there's a lot of talented people out there to get to on this podcast. So that's the one good thing I can say is I'm probably never going to run out of interesting people and talented people to talk to. Another guy, in fact, that I'm pretty sure I'll be talking to in the future. I still have a few guests kind of ahead of him. JD, John D'Agostin, he has a brand new service with Mike Young. Sound Freaks is his studio. That's the name of his studio. But the new service is IDFI, Identity Fidelity, IDFI. If you go to the front page of my site right now and for 1 month, he is offering 20% off the service. There's different levels. You can check it out on his website's linked on the very front page of my site. So I'll be honest, I use it. I use a lot of services, but I use IDFI. I really like it. One of my favorite, I won't get into a full review or anything right here, but I will say the sounds are very fat. You place them in your session and you know they're there. You know, some sounds from other services that are still very good, I feel like instead of having to reduce volume on them, I'm having to EQ them up or compress them up or just simply lift the volume on them sometimes, which to me is a bit of a pain. The IDFI stuff is not like that. Very fat, well-rounded, full sound that IDFI. That'd be one thing I'll say about it. So anyway, if you want 20% off that package, you can get it exclusively through this podcast, RyanOnTheRadio.com. Just hit the front page there. You'll see it. But again, he's only offering that for about a month. I'll yank it off the front page once the deal is done, just so you know. I won't yank his link. I want you to be able to see the link, but I will yank the discount information off there once it's done. So that should do it. I think we had a lot of stuff. I'll just say one more reminder. The new Facebook page, it's facebook.com/prodpod. PRODPOD. If you want to like it, you'll just get your updates about this podcast there. Like I've written somewhere, I won't tell you when I've gone to the bathroom or what I ate for breakfast, any of that crap. It's just going to be stuff about this podcast. So anyway, if you want to interact that way, feel free. You can always join the mailing list. There's a contact form on the front of my site. Just tell me subscribe. Give me your email address. I'll put you on there. And also, if you feel so compelled, vote for one of the four talented people and me for the Worldwide Radio Summit Awards. There's a link on my blog on the page, on the website as well, RyanOnTheRadio.com. All right, I've spoken way too long. I've taken too much of your time. Thank you so much for checking it out again. I'll see you later. Bye.
The producers, Ryan Dream.
Have a question, comment, or concern? Go f*** yourself. Just kidding. Kind of.
Email Ryan at RyanOnTheRadio.com.
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 Gotta make a jingle.
Radio Ryan on the radio.com. The producers.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening.